Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And happy Easter to all of you. What an enormously exciting day this is to experience the risen Christ. And we could not have picked a better person than Father Scott Borgman, who is parochial vicar of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Newport Beach, California. Welcome to the show, Father.
Thank you, Deacon Steve. It's good to be here with you guys.
It's so wonderful to have you here, and I'm with my bride of 45 years, Marianne Greco. Happy Easter, Marianne.
Happy Easter.
And what is the tradition of my family growing up?
Oh, I hope I say it right. Bona Pasqua?
Close enough. Bona Pasqua. Happy Easter. And what is it in growing up that our kids growing up and so forth that you would put out on the garage?
Well, I tried to make Easter as big celebration, and so we made a sign on a sheet that said, "He is risen," and we would put it up on the big letters on the garage.
So picture this, Father, you know, this huge bed sheet, you know, and it's like, you can imagine what the neighbors would say, there they go again, but across the entire garage, "He is risen," in these bold, bold letters. And that's so critical that we understand the meaning behind the risen Christ. And Father, I know that you're going to share with us your thoughts on what is the joy and the meaning of Easter.
Well, this is the height of our liturgical calendar at the end of these 40 days of Lent, when we have been preparing ourselves for the Passion and the glorious resurrection of our Lord. And so on this day each year, we look back again, but it's not only a looking back, it's a looking forward. And for us, it's a renewed sense of this, "He is risen," this glorious moment when our Lord overcame death and gave us really the hope, us as a church, but us individually, each one of us, whom He loves very much, the great hope of final resurrection and eternity with God.
As we look at our scriptures here, 2 Corinthians 5:17. "So whoever's in Christ is a new creation, that old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come." And this whole concept of resurrection, this new birth, it's interesting that, Marianne, it happens during this springtime, right? When the flowers are blooming and all this new birth. That's, my brothers and sisters, what God wants us to do, is to recognize that we are new in Him. And for me, it's being this new start again, that we can participate in loving a God who loves us so unconditionally. And it's so important as we reflect upon, you know, the meaning of Easter to us in the sense of having this new creation, new birth. Your thoughts on that, Father?
Well, as you rightly said, and well, as even more appropriately, Jesus said, "I am the light, this light of the world," for all ages of history, for every society, for each man. Jesus invites us to participate in this light. Now, last night, many of us took part, if we were able, in the liturgy of the Easter Vigil, and we saw how at the outset, the total darkness of the church, this darkness which reminds us of the image of the profound darkness in humanity and in the world, which is plunged without Christ, without the revelation of God, then in a moment, as the candles begin to light up, as the lights come on, the light of the Easter candle spreads throughout the church, and this light of Christ, rising in glory, dispels the darkness of our hearts and our minds, bringing a new life to each of us, as it were. And so this Easter candle, which kind of symbolizes the light of Christ, it's beautiful because everything is extremely symbolic. Throughout Holy Week, we saw all of these symbols of the altar completely empty of any sign. And then as we came back, hopefully this morning, or as we will sometime during this Easter Sunday, to see the beauty of all the flowers, of all the joy of this Easter after the darkness has been dispelled and the light of Christ and its powerful call for us to become also the light of Christ and to share this light with all those around us.
As a deacon, one of the great thrills that I have, and it happened last night, is for me to carry that candle and come in the dark church, starting with the bonfire outside and then going in and then having everyone have a candle off the Easter candle in which all of us are participating in that light of Christ and actually singing. Should I sing, Marianne?
No.
No. The light of Christ. And then everyone says, thanks be to God. You know, it's such a thrill, you know, to have that light. And Father, we live in darkness, so many of us that are sinners, but we don't have to. And that's the Easter story is about rebirth. It is about this new creation. It is about knowing the fact that Jesus died and rose again, that we may have eternal salvation, the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're so joyous.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love how just the readings during the emphasis on Christ's resurrection, even St. Paul says our whole entire, the construct of our faith, of our Catholic Church, is useless without this one element of Christ's extraordinary resurrection. And I hope that as you live the next few days of Holy Week, you'll be able to listen to the encounters that our Lord had after his resurrection. Even maybe go back and read over, if you get the chance, this beautiful recitation of the resurrection of our Lord and the discovery by Mary Magdalene and Mary, who bring these spices. Make yourself another person in the recitation, in the narrative of the gospel. Maybe a bystander, maybe one of the apostles, maybe one of the ladies who followed our Lord. And they brought these spices, which go and to anoint the dead body of Jesus. And very early the following day, just as the sun was rising, they came to the tomb. And on entering, in their dismay, they can't find the body of our Lord. And a youth, clothed in white, says to them, very interesting, do not be afraid. Often our divine encounters remind us, do not be afraid. And this is something that happened throughout the Old Testament whenever an angel visited someone on earth. It's interesting, the first thing they say is, do not be afraid, because that is probably quite an extraordinary event, meeting these divine beings. And it's a theme also that God wants for our hearts. The fruits of the Spirit, for instance, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Nowhere in there do you find anxiety, stress, despair, depression. You don't find the things which Christ's light needs to illuminate within our souls. And if everything's going great for us in our work, in our family, that our lives would be at peace. But even if it's not going good, in fact, if it's going very badly in our lives, that our hearts would still be at peace, because that is the evidence of the light of Christ, of the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. And so as this recitation goes on, and St. Paul affirming that our preaching would be useless and our faith vain without this element of the resurrection of the Christ, I hope that this can also be an encounter not only for Christ with the disciples, with Mary Magdalene, and most blessedly with his mother, whom he certainly went to visit first. We don't see that in the scriptures, but there's a lot of support for the idea of this meeting that took place between our Lord and Our Lady, who was his mother and is also our mother. And so knowing that these encounters of Christ are also an encounter of each one of us with him, and we here in 2017 can meet him, the same Christ that resurrected on the altar when we go to Mass, in the tabernacle when we meditate within the tabernacle, in the confessional when we receive the absolution of the priest and walk away absolutely free with this light of Christ that has illuminated our lives, our hearts. And in that, once we are transformed by this light of Christ, we will then be a vessel like the saints, where others around us will be transformed and brought closer to our Lord and his design of love upon each one of us.
One of the important things, and that's so beautiful, Father, and I look at the analogy between the sun and the moon, Jesus as the light, as the sun. But what does the moon do but reflect the light? And we reflect the light as ambassadors of Christ, my brothers and sisters. And so the question is, you which have Jesus within you, which has that light within you, do you reflect it with your attitude, with your actions? Or are you hiding your light under a bushel basket? Or are you there on top of the hill? And Marianne, Easter also means that we go and we spread the good news. We tell other people about Jesus is risen. What does that mean to you? And what is the good news?
Well, I think that's really important. If we're receiving that light to reflect it, because we love him so much, we want other people to experience his love and experience that he died for them as well. This is, you know, for them as well. It's not just for me. It's for the whole world.
Amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back with Father Scott Porgman to talk more about the joy of Easter. We'll be right back.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hello, everyone. We're back again here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, empowered by the Spirit. Father Scott Borgman, parochial vicar of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in beautiful Newport Beach, California and Peninsula. And I was fortunate enough to hear some of his homilies and went up and introduced myself to him because he's so focused on Jesus, the risen Christ, the light of Christ, the breaking of the bondage of sin. And so many of us that are listening in live in this slavery of sin, this bondage of sin, this bondage of addiction. And for me, Easter reminds us of why Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. And Easter is the personification of breaking of that bondage, of the chains. Think of Peter in chains, you know. Think of the change of slavery to pornography, to drugs, to alcohol, to sex, to shopping, to whatever it is. And when we talk about the joy of Easter, we're also talking about breaking of this bondage because Jesus' death and resurrection has allowed us to defeat sin because Jesus has defeated sin. And when we say yes to him, it is his power that breaks through the chains of addiction. Your thoughts on that, Father?
Well, I think it's beautiful. As we go through this week on Wednesday, there's a wonderful gospel on the encounter of Jesus at Emmaus. This was just the night of the resurrection, and our Lord joins 2 disciples who are making their way to the village of Emmaus, having lost all hope because Christ, in whom they had placed the whole meaning of their lives, was dead. Our Lord catches up with them. They don't really recognize him at first. It's a very symbolic and extraordinary story. They engage kind of in a broken conversation, as happens when people talk as they're going along, and they speak about their preoccupation, which is what has happened in Jerusalem on the Friday evening, and this death of Jesus of Nazareth. And they're surprised that this man has not heard of it, and they begin to talk to him about it. And this is a wonderful thing. It would have been quite extraordinary to hear or to tape or for one of the disciples of Emmaus to turn on the audio file recorder on their iPhone and listen to be able to have this our Lord who takes them through the history, the story of the promised Messiah who was to come. But now these 2 disciples are meeting Christ. They're meeting Christ. They're returning to their home village after the Paschal feast in Jerusalem, and they begin to speak as they talk, and they're saying, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel, but now they speak of Jesus as a reality belonging to the past. It says concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed. Notice the contrast. They say who was, and here he is, standing by their side, walking with them in their company. How often in the normal days of ordinary life we miss Christ passing by right beside us. And Jesus is trying to uncover the reason, the most intimate roots of their sadness. So many, perhaps, of us are also struggling. Many of us struggling with addictions that we have perhaps lost hope for being able to come out of them. Little things, even the addictions of our pride, of our laziness, but also more strong addictions of sex and money. Greed can be an addiction as well. Who was, these two disciples say. We too, if only we could examine ourselves sincerely with an attentive examination of our sadness, our discouragement, our being a little tired of life, would find a clear link with this gospel passage. We could discover how we spontaneously remark, Jesus was, Jesus said, kind of in a past tense, and it's a moment to look ahead, to meet Christ once again, and to begin to move forward in our life. Christ himself, whom they did not at first recognize, but whose company and conversation they accept, kind of interprets all of these events of Jesus Christ going back into the Old Testament, and he opened up, as it were, the scriptures to them. And so it's something that we too need to begin to feel, this hope of the presence of Christ. On some occasions, obstacles can come in our lives that we didn't ask for, difficulties, temptations, and it does take a struggle to bring our lives back onto the road with Christ, to walk with him, and to find new life through him. If it's necessary, we need to get professional help, go and have professionals help us. We need to return to the Mass, not just sitting there, because, you know, the pews sit in the church all day long and never become saints. So it's not being in the presence of God that makes us saints. It's being actively participating internally, giving an act of our will to this sacrifice, to this relationship with Christ, to this eternity that he wants to begin with you, not after you're dead, but right now, as you are on your way to Emmaus or to your workplace or to your home or to a restaurant. And our Lord is calling you to fidelity, faithfulness, to the end of your life, to begin again. Go back to confession. Go back and experience this sort of car wash of our Lord as he takes us, all dirty as we are, and makes us shiny new. And then we begin again and begin to move along again in the presence of Christ, knowing that he is with us and using every possible lifeline that he's sending to us in his mother, our mother Mary, in the saints, in the sacraments, in those who are around us. Go speak to a priest, find help, and begin again.
You know what I like about that passage is that these are just two ordinary men walking along the path, and Jesus loves them enough, he comes to them. You know, you don't have to be special. You just have to be ordinary, and God loves you, and he interacts with them, and he's like that for us. We need to remember that we don't have to be special. We can just be ourselves and have pain, and we have issues and problems, but Christ will come to us, and we just have to interact with him. I love that.
And when we talk about the joy of Easter, we're talking about this transformation. You know, it's not a coincidence that during Lent, one of the gospel readings is transfiguration, but it is this transformation. And at the end of the road of Emmaus, as you look at Luke 24:32, they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" Our hearts were burning with the love of Christ, and that's because they were in his presence. And that was one of the things I heard you say, is we need to really seek God with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. One of my favorite Beatitudes is Matthew 5:6. "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is doing God's will, for then they will be filled." So we hunger and thirst for God's presence. We hunger and thirst for his will. And that's a big part of the Eastern message, that we need to say yes to Jesus in a way that that risen Christ becomes part of our heart and our soul.
I think you're absolutely right. Remember that the transformation, as it were, of our Lord takes place over the Mass, over the breaking of the bread. At that moment, he disappears from their sight because he has left himself as food for them. Remember the interesting little detail of this story, too, where they reach Emmaus and Jesus makes as if to go on. And it's Vespers, and they say these beautiful words, "Manet nobiscum Domine," stay with us a little longer, Lord, for it is toward evening. Stay with us, Lord, and we too ask him to stay with us, because without you, Jesus, all is darkness, and our life has no meaning. Without you, we are disoriented and lost on our journey. On the other hand, with you, everything takes on a new meaning. Even death itself becomes totally different. Stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. Stay with us, Lord. Remind us always of the essential things of our existence. Help us to be faithful and to know how to listen attentively to the wise counsel of those people in whom you make yourself present to us as we constantly travel towards you. Stay with us because it is getting dark.
Being in the presence of God, this is a great opportunity for us to say, how is your prayer life? My brothers and sisters, are you asking God into your heart? Are you meditating? Are you reading scripture in a way to allow the words just to come alive? And as Father mentioned earlier, put yourself in that passage. Be walking along with Jesus. What would you say to Jesus? What would you want him to say to you? And this whole idea of making God real in our life, Marianne, is a big part of what this Easter message is all about, is that he has broken the bonds of sin, the bonds of death, so that we may have that abundant life and that he be part of our everyday life.
Mm-hmm. We need to realize that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is touching us. We have that available to us. We just need to ask. He's right there. You know, he comes to us in our woundedness, in our weakness. Those are the times that we can ask him to be with us, to strengthen us. And certainly going to Mass and stuff is a step that can help us be strengthened by attending daily Mass. It's very helpful.
I love to hear the reference of reconciliation and forgiveness, because a big part of what this show is about, what we're trying to do, is to let people know Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. He died for our sins that we may have eternal life. He took on our sins upon himself and rose again and broke those bonds. So my brothers and sisters, take this Easter joy. Go to reconciliation on a frequent basis. We're going to talk more about that when we come right back, and the value and critical nature of Mass, daily Mass, and the sacraments when we come right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are back here high atop the Tower of Hope and beautiful Christ Cathedral with a priest that I've gotten to know here over the last few months, Father Scott Borgman, who is parochial vicar of Our Lady of Mount Carmel in Newport Beach, California, who is in love with Jesus, as all of us are in love with Jesus listening to this show. But the question is, how can we get even closer to Jesus? In the joy of Easter, and again, happy Easter to everyone and all of your families and loved ones, take that Easter joy, take that risen Christ, and live your faith. But we are sinners. That's just our nature, unfortunately, is to sin. And even the popes go to, I've heard at times, daily reconciliation. Mother Teresa talked about going to reconciliation on an ongoing basis. I personally believe one of the most important things that we can ever do as Catholics to increase holiness, to strive to get closer to Jesus, is frequent reconciliation. Your thoughts on that, Father?
Well, we all, I think most of us remember that moment when we, for the first time ever, saw Pope Francis kneel down at the confessional and imagine the startled priest in the confessional as he has to hear and absolve the holy pontiff. But Pope Francis and all the other popes were very open about their own experience with this wonderful mercy of God through the sacrament of reconciliation, through confession. And I know this Pope Francis says that he goes every 15 to 20 days. I myself go every week, but I need it a little more than he does, I'm sure. I was very touched, too, during some chaplaincy work with the Sisters of Mother Teresa, that every single week they come to our Lord and ask his forgiveness. And for a convert, it's one of the most extraordinary experiences with the sacraments, because it's a very practical thing. And I grew up basically saying, along with my missionary parents, look, we just go directly to Christ. But we never really stopped and did an examination of conscience and said, you know what, I sinned. And perhaps Jesus one day will explain to us why he wanted us to follow the format of speaking out loud our weaknesses, our sins, and then for receiving from our Lord through the priest the counsel and then absolution and walking away completely free. It's like the story of Saint Jerome, who was the secretary to the Pope in the 3rd century, and he had so much knowledge of languages. He spoke and wrote and read Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. In fact, he translated or oversaw the translation of the Latin Vulgate, which is the Bible which for the first time went out throughout all the world and was able to be read by the common man. And near the end of his work of this translating, which was years and years, as you can imagine, our Lord appeared to him, and we don't know much about the conversation that took place between the two of them, but at a certain point Jesus said, Jerome, what do you offer me? And Jerome said, Lord, I offer you all the things that I've done well in my life, all the treasures that I have in the past of works, of what I've taught, my teachings, etc. And a second time Jesus says, Jerome, what do you give me? And Jerome says, well, Lord, if you allow me to finish this translation here that I'm working on, the Latin Vulgate, then I offer that completely to you. And a third time, you know, there's always three times in stories, but our Lord says to him, Jerome, what do you offer me? And Jerome says, well, in the future, remember he was very intelligent, he said, if you allow me to do anything great, I will offer that to you and all the treasures that you allow me to do during my life. And strangely enough, a fourth time, the Lord comes back to him and says, Jerome, what do you offer me? And Jerome is thinking about it, and he's not quite sure what else there is. And he says, Lord, what else is there? And our Lord gives him a very telling thing for us here today. He says, our Lord says to Jerome, I want you to give me your sins, your failings, your weaknesses, all the things that you don't think are worthy of me. And our Lord can take the things in our life, the addictions, he can take all of the depressions, all those old wounds from our past life, and he can paint a beautiful canvas with his mercy, with his love. And this is what happens. So when our Lord is inviting us into the confessional, to be able to come back to confession. If you haven't been for a while, come back. You can come as much as each month. You're not going to find a priest who is not familiar with confessing his own sins. So there's never judgment. There's always mercy. And then the great thing is that he gives you absolution. You do your penance, and then you walk away absolutely free. It's funny. Some people would ask G.K. Chesterton, famous author, how old are you? And he'd say, well, a week or a month, as long as it had been since his last confession. And so he saw confession as a true rebirth, as a true beginning again. And the story of Jerome always encourages me to come back to our Lord with all of my weaknesses, knowing that I'm a sinner, and to be able to begin again and realize that we are truly sons and daughters of God.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, it says, "So also we are weak in him, but towards you we shall live with him by the power of God." And later on, it says, "But we rejoice when we're weak, but you are strong." When we're weak, we're acknowledging the fact that we need a Savior. When we're weak, we're acknowledging the fact that we alone can't do it. And it reminds me of the vine and the branches in John 15, Father, in the sense that Jesus is the vine, and for us to be part of that vine, we have to be connected to it. And we become connected to it through the sacraments, through reconciliation, through daily Mass. Your thoughts on that, Father?
Well, I always go back, I think, as well, to this beautiful story of doubting Thomas as he, our Lord, is appearing to various people, and Thomas is not with the group there when Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you," and appears. So he wasn't able to see the Lord, and he wasn't able to hear his consoling words. And this apostle who had said on one occasion, "Let us go too and die with him," he had actually spoken these words. This is St. Thomas. And at the Last Supper, he had expressed his ignorance to our Lord in the simplest possible terms. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" So filled with this deepest joy, the apostles would have looked for Thomas throughout Jerusalem on that same night or the next day. As soon as they found him, they weren't able to tell him quickly enough, "We've seen him. He who was dead is now alive." But Thomas, like all the others, and perhaps like you and I on occasion, had been deeply affected by what our own eyes had seen. And we have to know that Thomas would never forget the crucifixion and death of his master. He doesn't give the slightest credence to what the others have to tell him. "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." Those who had been his companions during those 3 years have tried to convince him, saying, "We have seen the Lord," and Thomas thought the Lord was dead. And so it's interesting that our Lord doesn't punish him for his doubt, but actually shows himself to him. And he says, "Put your hand here in my side, look and see." Our faith has to bring us to the point of understanding that our Lord has done just this with the Eucharist. He's done this with the sacrament of reconciliation. He's done this with the testimony of the fathers of the church, with the apostles who bring us Christ, who tell us, "Come and see, he is alive. He is alive. Jesus is risen, and he's as real to us today as he was on those first days on the roads of the Holy Land."
When I think of Saint Mother Teresa now, and her call within her call, and the vision that she had of Jesus, and Jesus saying the words, "I thirst, I thirst," that Jesus is thirsting for us. He wants all of us. He wants our brokenness. He wants our sinfulness. He wants our hopes, our dreams. He wants all of us. That we can go to him, Marianne, and say, "Abba, Father." It's that intimacy. And when we think about Jesus, we think about someone who loves us unconditionally. My brothers and sisters, you are loved unconditionally.
And I think it's really important for us to remember that there's nothing that we can do that so many people say, "Oh, I've done this or I've done that, and God can never forgive me or love me because I've done this, or I have this woundedness," and we don't try. But he loves us unconditionally. We have to remember that he just wants us to turn to him. And as Father said, give him our woundedness, our sins. There's nothing. He's greater than all that.
And it's so critical that we experience the gifts of the church. And we're going to find out after the break here about Father's background on he mentioned he was a convert. What is it that the Catholic Church offers in terms of the sacraments, in terms of its tradition, in terms of what it believes in, that makes such a big difference? I know for me, I went through a period of time when I was, really kind of attracted by non-denominational culture and so forth. But as I began looking at what the Catholic Church represents, the sacraments, the Eucharist, the magisterium of the church, the teachings of the church, I realize that there is nowhere I can go that has the fullness of truth like the Catholic Church. And I believe that with all of my heart. But I also found out later that I have to participate and do my part. Going to daily Mass was not an optional. I have to do that whenever possible. We're going to find out more about, on this Easter Sunday, how we can live our faith to its fullness so that we may experience the joy of Christ on an ongoing basis. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit with Father Scott Borgman, who is parochial vicar of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. We've been talking about the joy of Easter, the critical nature of reconciliation, the critical nature of the sacraments, experiencing the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, on a daily basis. Because, my brothers and sisters, the importance of having that joy of Easter is not a one-day event. It's not even during the Easter season only, but it's throughout your life. And as we look at why be Catholic, because, I mean, many of us, you know, we've looked at our friends or this church or that church or non-denominational, and perhaps some people are asking you, well, why don't you go to this church and so forth? Well, Father mentioned that he is a convert and his parents were very devout Christians, but they saw that something was missing. And so tell us that story and kind of how that relates to this Easter joy of being Catholic.
Well, I think the resurrection really constitutes a call to us to show with our lives that Christ is alive. These words of doubting Thomas, now famous for his doubt, my Lord and my God, who are kind of an aspiration for all of us. And this expression, my Lord and my God, we can say that even in our daily lives. But my youth was spent in a missionary family. We believe that Jesus Christ was, that salvation was through Christ. We believe that you had to be born again. And that was about it. I mean, we spent a lot of time with scripture-based sort of entertainment, a lot of really good homilies for my dad or preaching for my dad, a lot of good music, trying to invite people in. But that's kind of where the experience of God stopped. And it was after about 10 years of true scripture study. My father would spend between 2 and 4 hours a day reading and memorizing scripture. He would bribe us with ice cream and chocolate to memorize the books of the Bible from front to back and the chapters, whole chapters of the Psalms. My dad memorized the entire chapter of Romans and could recite it not only forward but backwards in a 2-hour period of time. And so he had a memory way of knowing which verse went with which words. And so he knew the Bible inside and out. And yet, to the surprise of my older brother and my twin sister, my parents entered the Catholic Church. And we were pretty shocked by this because we had never heard a Catholic talk about their faith or tell us what happened. We thought that the Catholic Church was a kind of a just a man-made society. We knew that Jesus had founded the Catholic Church, but we thought that the Catholic Church, as we had been taught, had gone astray from Jesus' true teachings, which of course we had, and had gone astray perhaps in the Middle Ages. We didn't know who or when or why or what, but we just knew that that was it, and we had the true faith. But as we began to meet Catholics who truly lived out their faith on a daily basis, and we began to experience this closeness of our Lord, what God is closer to us than the Lord through the sacraments, through the Eucharist. In fact, when my parents went to became Catholic, I started attending Mass just to understand better their experience. If it had been anybody else, I could have said, well, you know, they just went crazy and written them off. But I knew my dad knew the Blessed Scriptures, and he recently gave a talk at Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which was very well attended, and it was how I became Catholic by reading the Bible. So he believes that that coming back to where the Bible comes from, for instance, leads us into the need for a tradition in which the Bible is born, the Catholic tradition, and in which the Bible has to be interpreted, because the Bible cannot be read in a vacuum. And so I would start going to Mass. I didn't know when to stand or when to sit down, and I wasn't sure what was going on up there on the altar. But little by little, I realized that every time I came out of the Mass, okay, so I'm a Protestant, very practicing Christian, evangelical Christian, and I'm sitting in the back of Mass, and I came out of Mass every time with this extraordinary deep joy and sense of the presence of God. And so I started going back. I couldn't stay away, and I learned when to stand and when to kneel, and I learned the responses to the Mass. But most of all, I learned that what was happening on that altar was the exact same thing that Christ had done last Thursday when he was talking about when he institutes the Eucharist, and that Eucharist is the same body of Christ. It's the same Mass that has been said from today all the way back through 2,000 years of time when Christ instituted the Eucharist. And in every language throughout the entire world today, we're linked with those other Catholics. What an extraordinary unity. And all of that was happening on the altar was exactly what my father had taught me growing up. And I found it in the Scriptures, and I began to find more and more. In fact, I went to Mass every day for 2 years. I didn't go to communion because I knew that St. Paul had said to the Corinthians, I believe, that some of you are sick and some of you have died because you have communed unworthily. All the more reason to head back to the sacrament of reconciliation and begin again. So I didn't go to communion, but I would go and I would sit in the back and I would come out with this extraordinary joy. And then I started discovering all of these treasures of the Catholic Church. I couldn't believe that they weren't out in the street with big signs telling me about the communion of the saints, about Our Lady, about the Pope, the unity around the Pope, about tradition, about the true interpretation of Scripture, and all the other treasures of the Catholic Church are an extraordinary thing to share with your Christian and non-Christian friends, to bring them into the fullness of what Christ had for them. And after about 2 years of attending Mass, I had just sat there long enough, and I needed to engage my faith in a practical way, so I was confirmed in the Church in the south of France, and the bishop gave me the Eucharist, and I was so hungry for this body of Christ that I bit his fingers, and he still laughs about that today.
That is so great. And you know, it's one of the things that so many times we're on the defensive when we see our friends who have gone to this church or that church, and they're former Catholics, and, you know, and we don't know what to say. You know, they quote Scripture at us, and you know, I like to say to my friends, tell them to read John 6, you know, and tell them about the fact that, as it says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven, and unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you, and so forth. And whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, you know, and this remains in me. You know, I just believe so strongly that if people really understood the risen Christ through the Mass, through the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, that they couldn't possibly leave our church. And we would go and recruit so many more people, evangelize so many more people to join our church. I really believe that people leave our faith without really understanding it.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this passage of John 6 is extraordinary. All you have to do is ask these your Christian friends, where does the Bible come from? And I'll tell you, they have no clue. Because when they start asking where the Bible comes from, they realize that the Catholic Church, founded by Christ, and which you all know, that the Catholic Church is faithful today to all the precepts that Christ began in the doctrine of the Church, which has faithfully been passed down, often by the price of the blood of the martyrs through the centuries down to us today. And in this passage of John 6, it's very important. In fact, it's so key. These 11 times that our Lord says, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And 70 of his disciples leave. And these were his close disciples who had spent quite a bit of time with him and seen the miracles. They leave it all behind because they cannot reconcile in their minds the miracle of the Eucharist. And the question is to us today, what are we going to do? Are we going to believe? Jesus turns to his 12 apostles. He says, how about you guys? Are you here? Are you with me? Are you going to believe? Or are you going to leave too? And St. Peter, as the first among equals, takes the opportunity and the word. And he says, Lord, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. But that Eucharist, believing that Christ is in the Eucharist, you either, this passage in the Bible either means that the Eucharist is the true body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, or it's not. Jesus is asking you today, he's asking all of your Christian friends, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe this, or are you going to go start your own church? Are you going to believe the words of the resurrected Christ, or are you going to go listen to scripture-based entertainment? Are you going to believe and come to the table which our Lord has brought to you? He wants to feed your soul just like we eat every day. He wants to give food, his body and blood, soul and divinity, to your Eucharistic life, that your life would become Eucharist, that you become Eucharist, and that your whole day, little by little, as you give thanks for the last Mass that you were at, maybe arriving a little early to begin to prepare your heart for the next Eucharist, and maybe even beginning at home before you arrive, preparing your soul, looking forward to this great gift of the Eucharist, that your entire life would become Mass.
And live in the risen Christ. Live in his truth, because the truth will set you free. Father, happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you and to all your listeners. It's been wonderful being with you.
Could you give us an Easter blessing, Father?
May Almighty God bring you to the fullness of his design of love upon each of your lives. And may he bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Happy Easter to you and all of your loved ones. May you live in the joy of Christ. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We'll be with you next week at the same time. Happy Easter, everyone.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.